Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. It's that time again. It's a True North podcast hosted by a brother, a mentor, and a friend, Billy North, up there in Seattle, Washington. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing it down here in Los Angeles, 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, you catch it on the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, let me lay that red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. Billy the Threes, how are you? How can people get a hold of you? And boy, you are bringing a Hall of Famer again each and every week. And this one can definitely close some games. Top five in my book of all time, Raleigh Fingers.
Hey, he was number one all time to me. I'm doing well, Mark. Things are going good. And like you say, we got a good guest. And you can reach me at Bill Norte, 15, BILLNORTE, 15, at gmail.com. And hit me up when you get a minute, guys. And other than that, this is I remember playing behind him in center field and watching him close out a whole bunch of games. And I remember one time, I forgot my story. Go ahead, Mark. Hey, Raleigh, how are you?
Good, doing great.
Yeah.
Well, I will tell you this as I jump in here, Billy, and spell a little relief. Raleigh, you know, when I look at the top five relievers of all time, he's not necessarily my fifth. He's right up there because I loved him. I followed his career. Oakland, putting Oakland on the map. They could talk about the Dodgers and the Giants coming out here, but he definitely put Oakland and you guys put the A's on the map out here, winning three in a row. San Diego, Milwaukee, it was just unbelievable to see him pitch the trademark mustache. Raleigh, we're so blessed to have you on this show. I don't know where to start. The All-Stars, the Rolaids Relief Man of the Year, the World Championships. I mean, do you ever sit back and reflect on this? The great, illustrious career that you had in Major League Baseball.
Oh, well, it was a lot of fun, especially in Oakland. I played there 9 years, and we never finished less than second place. I mean, we had basically the same team every year. This was before free agency. So, we had Joe Rudy, Bando, Campaneris, Reggie, Catfish Hunter, Vida. I mean, we all kind of stayed on the same team for those years. And we picked up Billy in, I think, 73. And he was with us for the 73 and 74 World Series. And it was nice having him in the outfield because he could chase stuff down out there. If there was a ball in the gap, he'd get it. So, nice position.
I remember what I was going to ask you now. Or tell you, there in my career, there were two guys that I would not hit off in batting practice because they hurt. And one was a guy named Vida Blue who used to throw a fastball that would get out there about 6 feet and then it would jump at you. And Raleigh would throw a fastball that would come up there going around in circles. The movement on the ball was circles. Okay? Well, I'm not talking about the spin on the ball. I'm talking about the movement on the ball. when you're in batting practice, you're not as intent as you are when you're in a game, and you needed to be intent against both of those guys. They hurt. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Another question, Raleigh.
Yeah. Throw another one, and then I'll follow up with you, brother.
Okay. I wanted to talk about the trade that we had that time, and you guys were just hanging out for a few days.
Oh, yeah, that was when Joe Rudy and myself, Charlie Finley, sold us to the Boston Red Sox for $1 million each, and he sold Vida Blue for $1.5 million to the Yankees. And Bowie Kuhn kind of nixed the deal and said, Charlie, you can't do that. And Charlie thought he was right, and Bowie Kuhn said, no, it's not going to be the way it is. So Charlie set me and Rudy and Bida down for like almost 2 weeks. We weren't in uniform for 2 weeks. And so we were playing games with only 22 guys. And so it got to a point where we had a team meeting after about
2 weeks. I remember that.
We all, the team voted, Minnesota had just come into town, and I think it was maybe a Saturday or Sunday game, I can't remember which, but we were going to have a lot of people there. And so we had a team meeting, and we decided that we weren't going to play the game unless all Charlie Finley put us all back on the roster. So it got to about 10 minutes before the game.
Game time, yeah.
And we're still sitting in our street clothes in the clubhouse. We're not even suited up. And Chuck Tanner's on the phone with Charlie, and Chuck's telling Charlie, hey, Charlie, the boys aren't going to play today. They're not going to go on the field unless you get Rudy in the – and us back on the roster. So Chuck Tanner came out about 10 minutes before the game and read out the lineup. And he read out the lineup, hitting first, Campaneris, hitting second, Billy North, hitting third, Joe Rudy. And once we heard Joe Rudy's name, we knew we were going to play a game, and we were back on the roster. That's how we had to do it.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Man, we were sitting up there. We were sitting up there in our clothes, 10 minutes for game time.
Raleigh, looking back on your early life, you know, your dad was pretty instrumental in your life, too. One day he just came home from work and he said, we're moving to California. He sold the house. You guys couldn't afford hotels. You slept in sleeping bags beside the highway. And look at how far you've come now. I mean, I've always told this to Billy, and I'll stick with this till the day I die. The hardest thing I think in life is to be a Major League Baseball player. No disrespect on lawyers and doctors and all those other people, but to make it in Major League Baseball and have a career like you had, you know, it's never the goal, it's the journey. The journey with your family and coming out to California, how instrumental was that in your life to set the path to where you are now today?
Well, when I lived in Ohio, I lived in a real small town and on the Ohio River, and I never played any baseball until I was 12 years old. We didn't have enough kids in town to make a team. So there was about six or seven of us, and so we played wiffle ball. And we had a broomstick and a wiffle ball, and that's what we played. That's the only thing that we could do. So I moved out to California when I was about 10 years old. We kind of bounced around a little bit. And then I played 2 years of Little League when I was 11 or 12. And that was it. And that's how I got started in the baseball. But my dad was a professional ball player. He signed with the Cardinals back in the late 30s before World War II. And then he played minor league ball. His roommate was Stan Musial. They roomed together. This is when Stan was a pitcher, and when he wasn't pitching, he was playing in the outfield. So, but he knew Stan real well, and so he knew all about pitching. So he taught me the proper mechanics on how to throw a baseball, and that's what you need if you have a young kid and he's thinking about throwing a baseball. You have to teach him the right mechanics, and then that helps out later on down the line.
Yeah, because
well,
now
no doubt about
now
it.
Go ahead, Mark.
No, I was going to throw one more to him. You know, when you look at the 70s and in six decades of baseball I followed, I have to say the 70s to me was the best. The uniforms, the mustaches, the teams and everything that the 70s gave us. But the way that with the mustache, the $300 bonus from Charlie Finley to get anything out of him, that had to be something. Protesting Reggie Jackson's beard, and boy, that had to be some fun times back then in the 72 season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, Reggie came to spring training with a mustache and wouldn't shave it off, and everybody got on him. And finally, we started growing mustaches, and we figured if we grew mustaches, Dick Williams, our manager, would tell us to shave it off. And Charlie Finley got wind of what was going on, and so he thought mustaches was a great idea, probably because there were none in the big leagues. That's why he thought it was a great idea. So he sent a memo down to the clubhouse and said, anybody who makes the team 25-man roster on opening day, if you got a mustache, you get $300. So we only
everybody could use the 300.
That's the only reason why we grew them, was to get $300 out of Charlie. Then we started.
That was a lot of money.
Oh heck yeah, that was a week's salary back then. So and then we started winning, and you know, ball players are pretty superstitious. So we started winning, and then you know, we end up winning the World Series in '72 with them. And then we can't cut them off after a war, you know, winning a World Series. So 73, 74, same thing. So now I'm stuck with this thing. So I kept it ever since.
When was the last time you shaved that thing?
I haven't had it off since I grew it. Not once.
I know that's right. You don't want to see that face with that mustache gone.
Oh, yeah. I got to cover up as much of this face as I can, man.
I just want to say to you, when they talk about relief pitchers and closers and stuff, I would say the Rivera and Eckersley, when they started throwing those seven pitch ninth innings, and you know, they just come in and did that. If you only had to pitch one inning the whole time, I don't know how many saves you would have had. But I know that I sit here and I'm looking at the fact that one year you were 134 innings, one year you're 126, 129, 148. And I'm talking about saves.
Yeah, well, it was a little different. It was a little different back then because with excuse me, with our club, with Catfish and Kenny Holtzman and Vita Blue, they were completing 45, 50 ball games a year. So they didn't want to come.
Where did you get all of them?
So, you know, it was a lot harder to get saves back then because these guys didn't want to come out of games. Nowadays, you're lucky you have two complete games on a staff. So it's a lot different now than it was back then.
Yeah, and you say, because you started out as a starting pitcher, but who was the first one to use you that way?
Well, Dick Williams. I was starting in 1971. I was one of the four starters, and I wasn't doing the job. I was getting knocked out in the second inning, and wait four days to get knocked out in the second inning again. So he got tired of seeing it, and he threw me in the bullpen. And I was basically the long man. You know, I was going to come in and we were, you know, getting beat by 8 runs or something. And he brought me into a ball game in New York. We were getting beat like 11 to 2 or 3. And it got to the 8th inning, and all of a sudden we're winning 13 to 11. We came back. And I'm the only guy left in the bullpen, so he's got to use me or the pitching coach. So he brings me in, and I got a couple of innings in and got a save. Same thing happened the next night. He brought me in early and I got another save. And he called me in his office and said, from now on, in game situations from the 6th inning on, I'm going to go to you. Because I said, that's fine by me. I said, because I was on my way to the minor leagues. I couldn't get anybody out but as a starter. But I liked relief pitching.
Yeah. How did you have that many saves when Catfish and Holtzman and Vita would complete that many games? Who was the fourth starter?
Judah Blum and Odom. Odom was the fourth starter. And, you know, but they, you know, still the ball club, we'd have 45 complete games a year. So, you know, if we did, I would say maybe 35 to 38 of them were going to be wins, and there were save opportunities there, but they never brought me in because the starters wanted to get a complete game because
right.
That's what they got paid on was complete games.
Wow. That was a great time.
Hey, Raleigh, take us through whether it was with Oakland, San Diego, or Milwaukee. The craziest thing a fan did asking you for a baseball, maybe it was a bus ride, maybe it was a city, the craziest situation you ran into, because I can imagine in all the years of playing baseball, there had to be something for somebody wanting a baseball.
Oh, cool. Kids are always wanting baseballs. But when I played in Milwaukee, about the fourth or fifth inning, kids would start hanging around out by the bullpen, and I'd tell a kid, I said, go get me a bratwurst, and I'll give you a ball. They would take off, bring me back a bratwurst, and I'd give them a ball. I bet I did it 30 times in the bullpen in Milwaukee.
Isn't that great?
Wow. You could have sent Bernie Brewer as well.
Yeah, he wasn't that far. He wasn't that far away.
In 1981, Cy Young and MVP. I got to be around two guys. Those same two guys that used to hurt me when I was batting against them in batting practice, both were Cy Young Award winners and MVPs. That's a hell of a deal to have that good of a season.
Yeah, well, that's one of those seasons where nothing went wrong. I mean, I'd come in and give up three line drives, and they'd be all right at people. You know, that's the way it was. And, you know, you get double play balls. You have to have a lot of luck, too, somewhere in there. And we had great defense in Milwaukee that year. And, you know, guys were making the plays. And we could always – we had a lineup there. We were scoring a lot of runs. So if I did make a mistake, these guys would, come back and get a couple more runs. But, yeah. And
Harvey's Bangers. Wasn't that Harvey's Bangers?
Harvey's Wall Bangers. That was it.
Yeah.
And we had some good teams back there.
Let me ask you, Raleigh, as far as your idol in baseball, who was it? Was, you know, you being a pitcher, who did you kind of try to pattern your game after? Because I'll tell you, in all the years of watching baseball, you definitely have – The career saves and everything in my book, and also that mustache is never going to be touched. But who did you pattern yourself after? And, you know, was it a relief pitcher? Was it a pitcher growing up? And tell us, the listeners, all about that, too.
Well, when I moved to California, it was back in, 50, and I think it was mid-50s, 55. There was no baseball in L.A. So the Dodgers came to L.A., I think, in 58 or 59. And so I became a Dodger fan, and my idol was probably, I would have to say, Sandy Koufax, because I never missed a game that Sandy Koufax pitched on radio. I would listen to Vin Scully and Jerry Doggett every night in my little transistor radio. So I became a real big Sandy Koufax fan. And now I go to the Hall of Fame, and we have our dinner, and Sandy's sitting at my table, so it's kind of surreal to be sitting there with your idol having dinner every year with the same guys.
Isn't that something? How was that Hall of Fame? That induction had to be just quite a moment in your life.
Oh, yeah. That's the hardest thing about going into the Hall of Fame is getting through your speech. I don't care who you are. That's the toughest speech you'll ever give, is getting through your speech for the Hall of Fame. Because once you start talking about family and memories and stuff, guys get choked up. It's a nice feeling when you get an opportunity to get in there.
Yeah.
Well, you've played in both leagues, so you've seen the senior circuit and the junior circuit. Where now the changes in baseball, do you scratch your head on this? I mean, the bases look like pizza boxes now. The only thing I like about it is the you get to play all the teams, you know, it's you know, so the Trouts come to L.A. and vice versa, and, you know, you get to see some of the superstars. How great would that have been if it was when you were playing the game? And do you really like that?
I don't mind it. Maybe a couple of weeks games, that would be about it, just to see some of the, you know, if I'm in the American League, just to see some of the National League teams. But some of the rules out there right now, I really don't like. They'll start if they go extra innings, putting a guy on second base. I don't think that's right. They really didn't need to make the bags bigger, except maybe first base, and I wouldn't have made it any wider. I would have made it maybe 6 to 8 inches longer, because the most of your collisions are at first base when pitchers are covering the bag. You never see collisions at second base with guys sliding in that bad, or third base, so you really don't need to make that bag any bigger. But with the way it is now, it's 3 inches on first base wide and 3 inches on second base wide, so really a runner has a 6-inch advantage down. How many guys have you seen get thrown out by 6 inches on instant replay?
That's 10, 15 hits a year.
Yep. So, but, that rule I really don't care too. But the shift, let's let them play where they want to play. You know, if the guy doesn't want to hit the ball the other way, so be it. But,
That's the way I felt about that shift, too. I felt that the hitters should have got him out of it. Now, rather than you got all them guys on that side of the field and they're playing you like that. You need base runners all the time in a close game. And rather than looking to hit it over them, you can't hit it through them. You better learn how to push that ball down that other side and get base runners.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of different ways they could have got them out of that chip. But I don't think the way they teach hitting now is they all have that same philosophy of launch angle and.
Yep, everybody wants to hit a home run. That's it.
Yeah, a rally is a walk, a single, and a three-run home run.
That's it.
And you know, I mean, it's amazing how many innings they didn't score in the World Series. They only scored in couple of innings a game in the World Series. And other than that, there were zeros up there. And I think that right there is one of the reasons why a lot of people have become bored with it, because you're sitting there waiting for a home run, and then you're watching a guy hit .216 and with 39 home runs, and he probably only got 50 for the year. That kind of batting average, you know, there's a lot of stuff.
I think the one thing that I really like they're doing is the 15-second rule. I think they could probably get it down to 12 seconds between pitches. Get the guy, when I was pitching, I'd get the ball back from the catcher. It was in the air again in 10 seconds. I didn't waste any time. I hate these guys that get the ball back and they walk around out there for almost a minute trying to figure out the throw. And that's why the game's so doggone long. So,
and that's the one rule I kind of like too, is that because it reminds me of playing behind you guys, because when you're in there, it syncs up your fielders when you pitch well and pitch fast like that, and it's a better dance, you know, when you're in sync like that, when you can get with a pitcher with a good rhythm.
Yeah. Well, that's why it wasn't open with Catfish Hunter and Kenny Holtzman especially. I mean, Kenny would be throwing a pitch every 5 seconds if you let him. I mean, he didn't waste any time out there. He got rid of the ball, which was great.
Get you out of there in an hour and 45.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and not only that, Raleigh, you had Charlie Finley as an owner, and then you go to San Diego and you got the McDonald's magnate down there, Ray Kroc, buying everything up. How fun was it to play in San Diego?
Well, I enjoyed going down to San Diego. I was in California. I knew I was going to have good weather all the time. It was a nice city. I just wish we had a little bit better team. I think we finished third one year. That was about – we were usually in the cellar by the 1st of September. So we really didn't have too good of teams down there. But it was nice living down there and playing ball down there. But I just wish we had, you know, we played. I had a couple of, Ozzie Smith was my shortstop. Dave Winfield,
yeah.
Hall of Famer, he was my right fielder. But, you know, after that, we just had a conglomeration of just a whole lot of players every year. And we just couldn't win.
Yeah. Were you down there with Templeton?
No, that was after me.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was after me. I left. I got traded to Milwaukee in 81. I think Templeton came over like in 80, might have been 81 or 2 or 3, somewhere in there.
Yeah, hell of a player. Yeah.
Now, how tough is it? I was going to ask this to Bill, too, because how tough is it? A lot of people don't understand this. When you get traded, you know, whether it's the off season, whether it's, you know, during the season, how tough is it to pick up the pieces? Sometimes the family stays in the city. You move on, grab an apartment and stuff. It's got to be really grueling to be traded or to move on to another city and pick those pieces up. In the last 3 minutes, take about a minute and tell us how tough it is, because I can sympathize with guys like you guys getting traded.
Yeah, well, you know, most of the time when you get traded, it's during the winter and you're already in your home where you usually live 6 months out of the year. So when you get traded, I had to go to Milwaukee. Find a place to live. I bought a townhouse in Milwaukee, and then once the season would end, bang, I would go back to California. It wasn't really that hard. Kids were still in school, and so they got out of school right around in May, and then they would come to wherever I was playing, and I had my family there in the city that I was playing. So the hardest part was not seeing them between March, April, and May. That was the toughest time, because that's when they're still in school, and I didn't want to take them out of school and put them in another school. So that's how I did it. So it didn't really bother me that much. Yeah, you're missing being with teammates that you've been with for a while, and you're going to go to another team, and you got to make friends with all the players on the other team. So it happened to me twice. So it wasn't that bad. In 17 years, it was only twice. So,
yeah, I'll tell you this much. To being single, all I had to do was grab a suitcase. I lived in the Bay my whole career, except for Chicago. And then I would come home in the wintertime, but I had a little trouble getting home from Hollywood when I was with the Dodgers. I was having too much fun at the end of the season. I think I got home by December, though. But, yeah, all I did is grab a suitcase. I'm getting ready to move now, and I've never moved myself in my life. So
And now as we're down to the final minute, boy, that 74 World Series, that was simply amazing. After the Dodgers took the Pirates out, I was hoping you'd take the Dodgers out, and you took them guys out, man, big time.
Yeah, we played against them pretty good. I mean, they started popping off and, saying there was only like two guys on the Oakland A's that could make the Dodger team, and that kind of really upset a bunch of guys on our team. So, we took care of them in five games. So,
I remember reading that when we're coming from the airport, we're coming from Baltimore and coming from the airport. You know, I used to pick up newspapers all the time, and I read where they said that only two guys could play, and the comment was from Dick Green. He said, "I didn't even give a damn about this World Series. But now we're going to beat their butts." And we ran them out of there in five games, and four of the scores of the games was 3-2. And and we were that kind of team. Is that a close game? We were really, really efficient.
And we had great defense, and we didn't make any mistakes.
As we wind this thing down, Raleigh, we truly appreciate this. You're one of the best, and I'm so blessed with Bill to do this show each and every week, and have you great guests like you come on here. I'll cherish this one. I want to wish you guys a great weekend in Oakland as you guys. you know, are there this weekend, and the Mets come to town, and you'll probably pack more in there than the current A's are, just to see all you great guys. So I want to wish you the best.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, Billy, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you, my friend.
Okay. Well, thank you, guys, fans. And you can reach me at BillNorte15@gmail.com. I just want to thank Robbie so much, and it was a good show. And I'll see you on Friday.
All right.
Yeah, definitely. You guys, thank you very much for tuning in. Thanks to Raleigh and Billy. Catch the archive on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Have a blessed one. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Take it easy.
Right.